This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
9 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. A very good morning to you. My name is Eno Ogbevri. Thank you for joining the conversation. It is the Crossfire, and it is Wednesday, 22nd December 2021. About 5 years ago, residents of Port Harcourt started noticing black particles on surfaces, you know, under their feet, in their nostrils. I mean, yeah, color black. And people started asking questions. About some months later, there was a protest, #StopTheSoot protest in Port Harcourt. And then the River State government had this done. They put together a team to carry out a research on what exactly was going on. And in April 2019, they came up with this report, a study of airborne particulates, black soots, in parentheses, in Port Harcourt and its environs. Government of River State, Port Harcourt, Nigeria. When you get a document like this, you expect that after the document is released, there will be some changes in the atmosphere, but that hasn't happened. That's worse than this morning. Air quality, we checked the three top states. Port Harcourt is third. Actually, it's tying with Aochi and those states. I'm not sure why. I mean, what happens in Aochi, but I mean, we live here and we know what's going on here. So this report, I'm going to read just some parts of it. I did a screenshot yesterday. E7. So the different topics, I mean, yeah, subtopics here. We have our table of contents. We have the background, the sequence of the suit, the public relations, the presence of the suit, response of the State Ministry of Environment, State Government, Federal Government, role of society, role of media, role of oil multinationals, intervention by multilateral organizations like WHO and UNEP, and, you know, it goes on and on. So E7 is where I want to read just a line from. Then I'll get my guest to talk on the matter. For those who may not know, the River State Government's Governor, some wiki that is, on November 22nd, about a month ago today, had something to say. I'm going to play you that audio in a bit. But where are we? E7, right? Part of it reads, in this study, there's some words before that, showed that thousands of people in Port Harcourt are expected to suffer cancerous and non-cancerous effects from the soots in the atmosphere. I gather that it's not only in Port Harcourt, River State. On River State, it's beginning to spread to other parts of the Niger Delta. We'll talk about that in the course of this conversation. Joining me via the phone this morning is Nimo Bassi, Director, Health of Mother Earth Foundation and Ecological Think Tank. Good morning, Bassi. Thank you for your time.
Good morning.
All right. So the River State Governor, about a month ago, had something to say when this matter came up. I would like to play that audio first, and then you would, then I'll bring forward the question. So just listen. Okay. This is it.
You know, this bunkering cannot stop. Let me say that about him. Everybody's involved. The military is involved. Police is involved. If not, there's no way bunkering can continue. It's a terrible thing.
I don't know. What I should take the issue of bunkering to be even more serious than Tuesday. If you go around and see what has happened to our government, you will pity for us. There should be another civilized way to go about it so that while you are doing the right thing, let us not die. Can't be doing the right thing and we're dying. But even we should find another way to see whether to reduce this suit. And unfortunately, we have no helper except to continue to pray to God to touch the minds of our people who are involved in this bunkering act.
All right, so I think it was a top military officer that visited at that time, and the governor was having that conversation. So, Nimo Bassi, when it comes to the matter of the suit, is it really beyond the government to fix?
No, it's not beyond the government. But again, it's the government and the people that have to work together. The government has the apparatus, they have the duty to care for the people, to ensure that the people have a safe environment. And this did not happen just overnight. before the soup crisis became so prominent in Port Harcourt, and Port Harcourt became the capital of soup, or the soup capital of the Niger Delta, we had a lot of soup at a bank in near Warri in Delta State. And that soup was prominent whenever the petrochemicals, the refinery, there was functioning. Whenever the refinery was shut down because of failure of some parts or whatever, the soup went down. It was quite bad. People were complaining. They went to the Senate. They had a lot of complaints over the issue. But as long as the refinery was down, the soup was off. But the source of that soup could be traced directly. Now, over Port Harcourt for more than 5 years, as we've reported, things have been building up to the point that it's almost intolerable completely. So government has ministries of environment, ministries of health, at the both the state and federal level. And there should be a cooperation. They should be working. They should work together. They have research institutions. The government of River State set up a study, a committee that studied the suit and brought such a damning report showing that the people are exposed to extreme health challenges. And yet we're saying this is lingering on, and obviously no real action being taken. It's a big disappointment at all levels.
So what action do you think, or do you know, could be taken by the government, especially at the state level? Because many times when we have these conversations, oh, the federal government this, federal government that, but we live here.
You are right. This issue is a bit complex. Number one, what are the sources? Where is the soot coming from? And we do know that the soot is coming from gas flaring, coming from artisanal refining, or what is locally called small fire. It's coming from burn of illegal crude by the security agencies when they capture boats or whatever, barges loaded with crude oil. They just set them on fire. Burn of tires, the cars that are on the road, generators, and even when waste dumps are set on fire, and as fossil plants are burning, you know, hydrocarbons, all these contribute to the soot. So one action would be stop gas flaring. That is not rocket science. It's not impossible to do. Stop illegal, some of illegal crude by security forces. When they capture those illegal consignments, they should be able to take them to designated position places and probably send them to the refineries or dispose of them in a safe way, not just setting them on fire. That is causing a lot of problems. And the entire shouldn't be burned. They should find a way of recycling them and reducing them for something. But I think the basic thing, one of the basic social actions that needs to be taken is to provide job opportunities for the millions of youth who are finding difficulties making a living. If you don't have an army of unemployed people, you will not have people ready to expose themselves to actions that the illegal refining. Illegal refining is extremely dangerous for those who practice it. Young people burning the crude, I can assure you they don't have the prospect of living long to enjoy the proceeds of the hazardous job they expose themselves to. The big bosses who stay in the cities, who stay far from River State, from Niger Delta, may be having a good time, but the foot soldiers in the forest, in the swamp, who are carrying out these activities, are more or less sentenced to death or to very serious diseases. So, job creation. Apart from that, letting the people know, the massive education of the people about the danger of soup to the health. But first of all, let government show leadership. Provide the job, stop gas flaring for God's sake. This has been illegal activity for 60 years now.
So we have a value chain. I'm sure you're familiar with that when it comes to this illegal refinery business. From the guys that bring in the stolen crude, okay, from the guys that first of all inform them that it's okay to steal at this time, to the guys that go there to break the pipelines, collect the crude, transport the crude, take it to the cooking pots, then, you know, there are different people, those who cook, those who cook for those who are cooking, those who sell the nylon bags they use, those that transport, those that are informants, those that, you know, the value chain is endless. How can the government bridge that gap? Because you're saying deal with unemployment, but how does it go? We hear now that even some families, it's become a full-time family business. Mother, father, everyone is involved.
Again, that shows the depth of the brokenness of our system. It's a system where people are doing whatever they can to survive. This is not what it ought to be. It's a failure of the system and it's a failure of leadership. Now, you mentioned the entire chain of actors in this problem. So again, you see that the victims are the poor people. You see, victims are the ordinary people. The victims are those who are doing their best to live within the confines of the law. So now it's the oil step that keeps this process of illegal refining. As you mentioned, we have the players everywhere. No poor villager can open up a pipeline to take good oil. They don't have the technology, they don't have the equipment, they don't have the knowledge. We have people within the system who know when what is passing through which pipeline at what point, how it can be interfered with and taken. And of course, there's also those who provide the facilities to process this. But again, this is one aspect. I don't want us to keep our eyes only on coal fire, on illegal refining. We have to keep our eye also on other activities which must also be tackled.
So let's share those activities, Nemo.
Let me repeat. Gas flaring is a big bull in the China shop. Gas flaring we do know that this causes cancer, it causes kidney failure, it causes bronchitis. All the effects we talk about is also created by gas flaring. And gas flaring is causing soot because our gas flare is being burned, this hydrocarbon being burned at very inefficient levels. So a lot of toxic elements are released into the atmosphere and it's been going on for decades. When you hear about soot being found at a place like Uyo, the capital of a private state, and there's no coal fire anywhere near there, then you do know that we have a serious problem because the atmosphere is charged with this very toxic element. And the illegal burning of crude oil by the security agents, that can be stopped right now by just the military hierarchy, the joint task force hierarchy, giving instructions to that. And they can monitor. They can monitor the with satellite. They can monitor with helicopter. They have this equipment. They have the tools. And then all the other things. We talk about gas flaring, artisanal refining, the burning of waste at dump sites, burning of tires, the coal fire. We have to tackle every segment that is contributing to this problem.
Okay.
And the illegal refining could be addressed. There's been a suggestion that this can be addressed by modular refiners.
Mm.
But when it comes to modular refiners, I believe that the emphasis should be on our research institutions fabricating those refineries. We during the Civil War, in the eastern part of the nation, crude oil was being refined, not with the imported refineries, but by using local technology. Some years back, Amerebele University announced that they had fabricated a refinery, and that was in the media. So Nigerians have the capacity to produce refineries, to make these modular refineries that can be affordable by collectives or cooperatives of those who are currently engaged in this kind of activities and those who have abandoned their business but have the knowledge and the capacity to do it. But when you say modular refineries, the ones imported from maybe South Korea or wherever, the cost is still far above what these guys can afford.
Mm.
And so the illegal refining would not stop by bringing in imported modular refineries.
So that's for the federal government?
Well, of course, the federal government has a big part to play in all this, in terms of because they control the petroleum sector and that level of the impact from that. And so the federal government has a lot to do. The federal institutions, the state institutions, universities should be brought into this place. And then, of course, state governments in the region have a role to play too by providing jobs and by talking to the youth, talking to the young people who are involved in this and getting a buy-in. But when you're going to get a buy-in when people have alternatives. And I know it's difficult in the United States. They can't fish, they can't farm. For them, not everywhere is totally lost. So there's still hope that ways we can bring in some work with nature to aid the recovery of nature.
Some people are not quite sure about the impact of the suit in the atmosphere. Could you just give us, you know, more insight in that?
Yes. I think the suit actually has far more impact than the immediate health impact that we have in that is things like having nostrils blocked or having so all kinds of immediate diseases. But when you look at the components, the things that are inside the suit, we have nitrogen oxide, we have sulfur oxide, we have carbon itself, we have some kind of variations of benzene and other very dangerous elements. And so when people keep inhaling this, the health effects are very frightening. The health effects are really scary. You have, ultimately, you're going to have infertility problems. You're going to have children who are born before time, that preterm delivery. You're going to have pneumonia. You're having low birth weight. Children born with very low birth weight. You're going to have things like skin irritation. People are going to have, I mentioned pneumonia. People just wake up and they just confusion because of the elements in the soup that can affect our nervous system. There, people have been problems of lung cancer, liver cancer, kidney failure, heart disease, could even trigger stroke. So, I mean, this is a serious health issue. It should be a state of health emergency declared in River State and in the state of other states. I'm told that soup is also being seen in Yenagoa. So it's spreading. You've had suit in Warren, you're having in Yenagoa, you're having in Uyo, you're having in Port Harcourt, and the villages, nobody talk about what is going on there. So this is serious health emergency, and it's difficult to say what will happen to people residing in these areas in the next decade.
Oh, you said it's a collective, it calls for a collective effort from the people and, of course, the government. What can the people do?
Well, first of all, people have a responsibility to educate themselves and tell themselves that even if you make a few thousands or millions of naira today, if you're not alive to enjoy it, that kind of wealth is totally useless. And for those who are staying out of the region or engaging in this kind of activities, eventually a lot of the people is on their hands, on their consciences, and they will have to account for this one way or the other. So people have a duty to educate themselves and to learn about this problem. And people have also, they may not be able to, people have a duty to protect themselves. It's very difficult when you have the victim having to labor to protect themselves. Those who have money are installing air filters, using air conditioners, getting their homes airtight. But that means you are imprisoned in your home. You can't get out of your home. So when you get out, you are still going to be exposed to the suit. And so I think the job we do individually and then collectively, community development committees can introduce health talk whenever they meet, so that those who are tempted to engage in this, because this thing is not just about the soup going to the atmosphere. It's about the pollution of the rivers, of the streams, of the creeks. We don't have to pipe warm water, but when all the ground and surface water is contaminated, even the boreholes would not help in the long run. You heard about the case in Ogoni land where groundwater was found to have layers of hydrocarbon and the water became not to be possible. People could not drink the water. So the challenges are much, and there's a limit to what individuals can do. This needs a systemic action by the government.
Thank you very much, Nimo Bassi, for your time.
Thank you for this conversation, this sad conversation.
Well, it's what we live, what reverse people have to deal with on a daily basis, talking about black particles in the air. You find it under your feet, on surfaces, water bodies, and of course, that's what people breathe in. I just had a chat with Director Health of Mother Earth Foundation and Ecological Think Tank, Nimo Bassi is his name. And the report by the River State Government was released 2019, 2 years on and counting. It looks like it's worse, because the number of artisanal refineries that were available at that time were fewer, much fewer than what we have now. He mentioned gas flaring I thought was supposed to have ended flaring some years ago. What's going on? But then again, the biggest issue here is the health of the residents. It's spread now to Yenagoa. We got reports. Yenagoa is looking, it's terrible. People can hardly breathe. Uyo as well, it's getting there now. The people have a responsibility, he said. But then again, one key thing he said was unemployment has to be fixed. It shows that social fabric has been destroyed. People don't have jobs, and this is a case of survive or die trying, as we have seen.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
5 minutes and we're done, because it's 10 minutes now to 9 o'clock. Don speaking with Nimo Bassi. And he is the director of health of Mother Earth Foundation, an ecological think tank. He was telling us something about the suit that has become known in Port Harcourt and the River State. It says spreading out to Bayelsa and Uyo in Akwa Ibom State. Now, he did mention some of the reasons, which of course are captured in this document that was put together by the River State Government research team on a study on airborne particulates, that's the soot, in Port Harcourt and its environs, April 2019. Of course, gas flaring, illegal refineries, which we call coal fire, burning of tires. I thought that had stopped, because there was a task force that the River State Government set up to confiscate tires at that time. There were hundreds of tires. Some were kept around mile one. I think that dump caught fire or something. Then another one at some point. Not all of it, some of it. Then at Ilios area, there was another one as well. And then the setting ablaze of illegally refined petroleum products by, security agencies. Some of the reasons. Of course, I've mentioned gas flaring, haven't I? Meat roasting, I don't know if they're still doing that, because we have a Ministry of Agriculture, and I know that at some point that campaign was on. So all of this put together is why we have this particulate matter in the atmosphere, and it's affecting citizens in ways that many of us can't even imagine. Nimo Bassi did mention some of it, though. Hector says, if a governor can create a task force and attach police to the task force to chase poor motorists and traders, is he telling me he can fight coal fire operators? Good morning. And on, please, can nose mask help prevent the inhalation of the suits? I don't have the answer. Melody says, an inability to gather these local artisans and train them to refine our crude oil, but rather take the crude abroad to refine, is the height of irresponsibility. I visited a Mohwa, interacted with some of the coal fire guys. They asked me, which do I prefer? Carry guns and block East West Road and coal fire, which do I prefer? They told me that the calm in the state now is largely because most of them have found daily bread in coal fire business. We must be ready to give these guys alternative bread through control of modular refineries, or to start another insecurity. They told me it's better to die gradually with our selfish leaders who breathe in the same air than to die alone out of hunger. I was shook at the mindset. Unbelievable. So, no jobs, then the options now have become between carrying guns, block the East West Road, maybe kidnap people, or illegally refine crude and make a lot of money from that as well. Which do you prefer? Wow. So there were some recommendations by the the committee that was set up, carried out the study. In the short term, the report says the federal government should compel security agencies to do their work by ensuring that coal fire business is completely shut down. but we've seen them increasing in numbers. This is from burning seized crude, setting up retaining tanks for the storage of seized products. That's, of course, by security agents and paramilitary. Then the agency responsible for the distribution of petroleum products should increase supply to River State in order to douse demand for illegally refined products. Is that happening? In the meantime, a mechanism should be set up to check connivance of pipeline management staff of oil companies. A whistleblower policy should be instituted to receive and handle confidential information of bunkering, refinement and sale of illegally obtained and processed crude oil. And in the long term, federal government's promise to license and, if necessary, commission modular refineries attracted more people into the business of coal fire. It should fulfill that promise. I'm not sure how. Of course, those are the recommendations or the possible solutions to halting illegal refineries. But what has happened over time? And the effects, long range, short term, and everything in between. But what we have on ES7 shows the study showed that thousands of people in Port Harcourt are expected to suffer cancerous and non-cancerous effects from the soot in the atmosphere. Then the question becomes, when they do, what happens? Do we have a healthcare system? Do the people have the funds to even treat themselves? And then again, is anybody safe? My name is Enoch Beverly. Thank you for your time.